Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about Anne Radcliffe all week.
All week long.
Tracy, I want to ask you right off the bat, because when we began, you giggled a little when we referenced the Castle of Otranto.
Yeah. So the little giggle, well, first, was there a specific thing you were going to ask me, or were you just like, what was that about?
What was that about?
When I was putting together my potential October episode topic ideas for this year, one of them was Horace Walpole, author of Castle of Otranto. And when you and I talked about sort of what you had on your list, and I was like, I sort of felt like having Anne Radcliffe and Horace Walpole in the same year might feel a little too similar. And I had not really realized until you sent this outline over to me that she specifically cited the Castle of Otranto as like one of the big influences on her.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that. So I was, as we were recording, I was thinking about interjecting that. And then I was like, no, this is better for Friday in the behind the scenes. maybe at some point in the future, there will be a Horace Walpole episode. I took a class in college, which at this point was so long ago, that was called Discourses in Terror. And it was a class that was all about the evolution of the Gothic novel. So we read The Castle of Otranto. We read The Mysteries of Udolpho. I don't think we read, it was Northanger Abbey that was like Jane Austen's satire,
yeah,
right? I don't think we read that one, but I do think that it was in the volume that included Castle of Otranto and Mysteries of Udolpho. I feel like that was one book that contained all three of those books. And then, like, from there, we read a whole bunch of other very dark and foreboding and eerie and sublime and surreal stuff, ending with A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, the way I love that book. The way, yeah, I love that book. I know not everyone loves that book.
Yeah. It was a really interesting class. It was an elective in the literature department. So, yeah, and it was, it just was funny to me that I had not really realized that she had specifically cited this. That could be a thing we talked about in class 20-something years ago that I've forgotten now. But, yeah.
I found one of the hardest parts of prepping this episode was trying to summarize any of her books, because they do have a lot of tendrils.
Mm-hmm.
And like Sir Walter Scott mentions, like, it seems like she forgot about this. there is the trajectory of her work that intrigues me, which is that for a while, you know, she fell so out of favor and people kind of were like, that's cute. Little housewife writing romancy books, huh? And now, you know, it's kind of come back full circle and people are analyzing them with more depth, which I find very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where I read her work and I will confess, I'm not like super into it.
I was not either.
Like, I love the descriptive parts, which is what she is always lauded for, like writing mm-hmm. really good, creepy descriptions of places and landscapes.
Yeah.
But like, then it gets her. I'm one of those people that her device of like not telling you what has actually just happened
mm-hmm.
makes me a little itchy where I'm like, do I have to flip through this book to find out what that was?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's interesting that she is the person, like, if you trace the line, just like your college class did, like, there is a line that can be traced from her to modern works. And it's not like they wouldn't have existed without her, but she definitely influenced that trajectory. I just always love those flow charts of, like, influence are mm-hmm. always very interesting to me. There is another thing we didn't really talk about in the episode that is interesting to me. And if anybody listening who maybe hasn't studied this era of English literature in particular, this idea of ladies publishing anonymous works,
mm-hmm.
which was not particularly uncommon.
Right.
Because, you know, women of this time would read a lot because they did have leisure if they were of a certain station. And then it was kind of a natural progression for them to go, I could write something. It's kind of like when we did, I'm jumping to a very different type of thing, but when we were reading Billy Burke and it was like, there were always like women who were like, I could write a play. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing. Like people who had a little bit of time on their hands and could be like, yeah, I'll try my hand mm-hmm. at writing. So there is like not a lack of anonymous works to be found from this time that were most likely written by a woman who had read a great deal, which informed her. Listen, my time in college, the part of my time in college that was spent on my English major, because I was one of those people that kept adding majors. I wouldn't change. I would just add, was specifically all into the English romantic literature. And I'm about to trash talk Samuel Taylor Coleridge a little
okay.
bit, which normally I don't do, except he at one point had criticized her explaining her endings because he felt that that didn't satisfy the reader's desires.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I hear that, I think about Kubla Khan, which is essentially him writing a poem where he says, I dreamt about this amazing place, and he goes on to describe it, and then he goes, but I could never describe it, and then the whole thing ends, and mm-hmm. I'm like, you just did, come on, like there's some weird parallel to be drawn there of like, really, you're gonna attack people for their expectations when you just kind of were like, oh, I'm done with that, I can't do it. Interesting.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence.
Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
I want to talk about Richter Norton, who we mentioned several times.
Yeah, we did.
He is a historian that I think a lot of our listeners might be into some of his work. He really specializes in LGBTQIA history and has written a lot of really good books about it, particularly in England and I think some in other areas of Europe. Writes some very cool things. His analysis is really interesting, I find. I like the way he writes. So if you are in search of such, that's a great place to start. He wrote a lot of analysis in his biography of her about her anti-Catholicism and the Unitarianism thread that kind of goes through her thing, including Williams' periodicals that he edited and owned, one of being kind of considered radical Unitarian gazettes, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so if you are into that, that's a very interesting part of her story that didn't quite fit in her life story, but is interesting in how you may read her literature. He makes an interesting point about the fact that she was self-taught a lot of things, like her knowledge of things like history were things she had read in books, but she would mess it up and she would kind of get away with that. Mm-hmm. Whereas when it came to people of lower class, she would make fun of them for being uneducated sometimes and stupid. And it's like, ma'am, that's not cool. You are very sensitive, clearly, and yet you are not sensitive to other people's feelings or needs if you don't think they're as good as you. Super interesting. She wrote a line that I plucked out of one of her travelogues, and I don't know why it really stuck with me, because I keep finding myself trying to pluck it apart to really get to the meaning of it, and I continue to rethink what I think it means. It's a very simple line, which is, "I prefer rich beauty to wild beauty unless accompanied by such shapes of grandeur as verge upon the sublime." And I'm like, are you saying that you like man-made beautiful things, like things that are crafted by a human versus like the natural, like looking at architecture versus just a landscape? Unless there is something in that landscape that wows you, or are you saying something else? And I keep like circling this, being like, what does she really mean by rich beauty versus wild beauty? And what does she mean by shapes of grandeur exactly? And we don't know.
I remember having a very long, it might have been like the whole, a whole session of class in this Gothic novel class that I took. Just a lengthy exploration of like what exactly sublime meant in like the context of this literary world.
Yes. Yes. Well, and that passage that I think you read in the course of the episode where we're talking about the character of Emily pulling back the veil and her talking about how being afraid, like terror, is actually this sublime thing and sort of feels good. And I'm like, perhaps I'm not cut from the same cloth as Mrs. Radcliffe. I'm certainly much less uptight than it seems she might have been, but I also don't find being afraid to be terribly fun. I like horror films, but it's because I'm not afraid of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen, I'll watch The Babadook 7 times a day. I love it. But yeah, I like thinking about the significant differences between her time and ours, and also trying to translate what that means, like things that she said and whether or not they apply to our current world, because it was a very different world, obviously. Like we mentioned in the show, like the things that were considered, you know, provocative or terrifying in her time are really extraordinarily mild for most modern readers.
Right.
Which is part of it. Like, I know, I remember talking to a friend who had read one of her books. And I even had this experience, I think, as a teenager. I don't remember if I had read Udolpho or The Italian. It's been a long time. And being like, I thought this was supposed to be scary. Like, I did. there was no real sense of it being actually terribly frightening. Like, my takeaway was that Emily was just soft.
Sure.
not that she had seen anything very scary. It was like, well, she just fainted. I don't know. I'm not decrying anyone who faints or is soft for that matter, but that was my takeaway as like a 17-year-old. It's like, oh, she probably faints at everything. Which is, you know, the least kind read I could have possibly had. Anyway, Anne Radcliffe, you intrigue me. I feel like we would not have liked each other had we found ourselves in the same timeline, but I'm still very intrigued by her. I do love the idea that she was like, let's just live our lives. Let's just go hang out. You want to hang out for the next 30 years? That sounds good. You want to do that?
Sure. Yeah. When you were talking about they still went out in the carriage and they went around London and the surrounding area and stopped wherever their heart desired. I was like, that sounds great.
Yeah, their travels together. It seems like she and William just loved hanging out together and traveling together. And that's kind of the dream. No, you can't ask for more than that, right? She lived a great life from the time she retired from writing for like the next 24 years. Sounds great. Sounds great. May we all have such delight. May you have such delight. If this is your weekend, maybe go drive your carriage around and stop wherever you want. If you have obligations or work or something of that nature this weekend, I hope they still afford you time to find delight and ride your carriage around wherever you want. But we will be right back here tomorrow with a classic. And then on Monday, there will be another brand new episode. And we are into Halloween time. So spooky and creepy things afoot.
Yeah.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
Healthcare is a right! Healthcare is a right!
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.